Last week, the title for the message was Tying Up Loose Ends, and this is going to be Loose Ends Part 2. And what I meant by that last week is that there's lots of things in our Christian walk where we can we learn things early on in our walk with God, and we learn things as time progresses. And then sometimes we forget about them, or it's not talked about for a while, and sometimes we need to be refreshed to know why we do the things that we do and why we believe the things that we believe. And all of that is going to be found in the Word of God. And so the Word of God is what has to be the basis upon which we form our beliefs. And not only that, the way things are structured or not structured. And sometimes, as we've walked through this life over the decades since the church has been around, sometimes phrases, words are said, and it moves the church into a direction that, without having a full understanding of, it gets taken the wrong way, and we begin to see things in differently than what the original intent of the scriptures were. And it's always important that we be people that are refreshed in the Word of God, understand what the Word of God is saying. You're going to hear today probably things that you already know. We move in this a lot, but it's always good to be reminded of the scriptural basis upon which we live and move and have our being. So this is something that we know about. Last week we talked about being spirit led. That there's more to it than what we think, and there's things have been added in that don't belong. And so we talked about that last week, and how important it is that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built. You know, and we have a congregation of people, the body of Christ. And if it's not the Lord that's building this house, if we're not listening carefully to the Spirit of God, if we make assumptions, or we just take only the things we want to hear and don't see the whole picture, the whole gospel, then we're putting some of our own ideas into the midst of things, and then it's not really totally the Lord building the house. We're putting our hands to the building of it as well. And so this has been, I think, last week, this week, just some reminders for us that we keep things where they need to be, and get back to places in our minds. Because I'll tell you, the things that are coming in the world, as you've heard so many times, There's lots of falseness, deception, a little twisting around of things, taking scripture. You know, see, the enemy doesn't just come against scripture. He takes scripture and he twists it. The person's using scripture, or the person says the name of Jesus. This must be right. And it's important that we stay in a discerning attitude. We need to have open arms for people, but we also need not to be naive about the spirit realm and their desire to get us off the truth and get us so that we become either too critical or not critical enough. You understand? And we all need help with this. We are in this walk with God together. And I hope that the basis, the intent upon which we continue to walk this walk, is going to be because we love one another and we want the best for one another. We don't, when there's differences of opinion, we're not going to allow those differences to divide us from one another. Because that's what the enemy wants to do, doesn't he? And as much as we can, we want to walk together. Now, the scripture's also clear. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? And sometimes you get to the point where you have to make some decisions, you know? But in the main, our heart, it's like a marriage, you know? Once there's the commitment, you want to see that commitment through to the very end, right? So this is what, you know, this is what you're trying to do. This is what you want to do. But we do have to walk together, and it's important that we see things as much as we can eye to eye. Now, what I felt the Lord wanted to talk about today was about authority, and it's about eldership and elders and deacons and. How does this all work? Because it's one thing to say that we're all spirit-led, right? And yet, in the midst of all of that, to say that everything is the same is not true. God establishes authority in the church. And I want to go through that because I have seen the extremes, one side and the other. I've seen where the elders, the pastors, are thought of as so supreme, and you can't say anything to them. They're above everybody else, it's a top-down kind of situation. That's not the Lord. And the other extreme is, everybody's the same and nobody has any different callings. We're all led by the Spirit. And that phrase makes it so that there is no authority in the church when God has callings of government within the church. And what we're looking for is that we're together and have an understanding of what the scripture actually says so that there's the balance from the scripture so that we're living our life understanding that, yes, we all have the Spirit of God within us. God speaks to all of us. We have an obligation that as God moves on us to speak, to sing a psalm unto the Lord, whatever it is when we're gathered together, that along with that, there are people that God has called to move the service in a particular direction. Do you understand this? There's a balance here, right? There is authority in the church. So we're going to go through this and make it so that we understand this. We're just tying up some loose ends. I know that we know these things. We've done this for years upon years upon years upon years. But it's good to go back and review. And that's what we're doing. Okay. So, Acts chapter 20. I'll come back to this very first verse that I'm going to talk about. It's verse 17. I'm only going to read it, and then I'm going to jump down a few verses. So Acts 20:17 says this, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Okay? Called the elders of the church. There's no reason to have a leadership if we don't need to be led. Because some people will say, well, we're all led by the Spirit, so we're all... No, there's a leadership that God calls in His church. All right? It's a calling. It doesn't make... and this is important. It doesn't make someone better than the other people. It's just what your calling is. All right? Some people are called to govern. Some people are called to preach. Some people are called for the different functions, the oversight of what's going on in a church. All right? So, and you notice here, and we don't see this too much in churches these days. It says, call the elders. Is that singular or is that plural?
Plural.
That's a plural word. There should be more than one. You get this? There should be more than one. Now, if you think about the way God set, you know, does things, do you think that that God just decided that's just the way it was going to be? Or does he know what we're like and that you can't have one person being the strong arm of a group of people? You need people to balance off other people. You get one person that's going to lead a church, and if that person's going well with God, hey, well, that's nice. But we're all human. And that one person can get off, and without any kind of input and balance, that person can lead a church someplace else. And so God, from the very beginning of the church, said that there should be elders in the church. Plural. And that is for confirmation. That is for correction. That is for there to be some kind of accountability within people that are making decisions for the church. Do we understand this so far?
Yes.
All right, I'll come back to this in a minute. Now, I want to point out a second thing that you don't see a lot in churches. We do have it here, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back for this. I'm glad that we're doing what it says in here. Jump over to verse 28. This is how we understand it. We have done this for years. Verse 28 says this: take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Now he's talking to the elders of the church at Miletus. Okay? And he says this. He says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You got this? So he's made elders, what's the word?
Overseers.
Okay? Keep that in mind. To feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, let me give you the words. Okay? He's talking to the elders. The Greek word is presbyteros. We get the word presbyter from that. So a presbyter is an elder in a church. Someone who is called to do what? Oversee the church. You know what that word is? Bishop. Only it's a Greek word, I don't know. But it's bishop. Okay? So a presbyter is a bishop. Right? A presbyter is a bishop. All right, now, with that in mind, I'm going to jump. These people are to feed the church. All right, so just hold on with that because I don't want you to think that I'm just making something up. The feeding of the church is what a shepherd does. A shepherd feeds the flock. Okay? All right. So I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, verse 1 says this: the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and am a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now, he's saying to the elders, right? Feed the flock of God. So there it is again, this feeding, this shepherding. Among whom, taking the oversight thereof. Oh, there's that overseer thing again, isn't it? An elder is a shepherd, is a bishop. Same office, three different functions. Okay? You get it? It's the same office. A pastor is an elder. What has down through the ages, what's going on? There's a pastor, one, and he might have a group of advisors that are called elders. That is not scriptural. At least that's what we believe here. Now, you don't have to agree with me. But you need to know how we function here, how we see things here. This is how we see it. It should be a multiple eldership. And an elder is the same thing as a pastor, that's a shepherd, is the same thing as a bishop. And we know that different churches down through the ages have made different offices for these same functions of that office. So whether you say a pastor, or you say an elder, or you say a bishop, you're talking, at least from the scripture, it's talking to the elders about having oversight, being a bishop, being feed the flock, being a shepherd, that's being a pastor. A pastor is a shepherd. All of this together, that's who has been called into the pastorate. We're elders. We're bishops. We're overseers. We're to oversee what's going on in the church. We're to take care of what's going on. That's important. And you have to be called to it.
I guess I want to go there. It says back there in Acts chapter 20 that we've been called by the Spirit for those things. Now you're saying, well, you know, do I really need to know this? I'm not an elder. You need to know how things function, right? You understand? It's important to know how things function. And you go visit churches or whatever. I'm not giving you this information for you to be critical of someplace else that doesn't function this way. People see things a certain way, and it's that sphere of influence, and we're not supposed to be pushing our sphere of influence into other churches. Now we function with other churches in our local unity body, right? I don't go there and reprimand other churches because they have a singular pastor or whatever. You know, that's up for us. You're here because you've read the bylaws. If you're a member, you acknowledge. Yeah, I think that's right. That witnesses to my spirit. Okay, so you're here for that reason, along with many other reasons. But this is important for us to rehearse from time to time, because it's all dealing with authority, and authority is a real touchy thing, because we've either experienced or have seen in other churches, have read about things in other churches where it's been very heavy-handed, very authoritarian, with a thumb on top of the people, and almost like blind submission, and as we're going to see here, that is wrong. That is not the way God set it up. And so people run away from anything that deals with somebody's actually in charge. And you see, the right way of looking at this is God is going to call people to an eldership, to a calling of
church government. And he lays upon those people a burden for the people. Let's read this. I want to finish this because the scripture says it a lot better than I will. Okay? Verse 2. I'll start at the beginning of that verse again. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, which means for, let's see how it says it in my Bible here. Where am I? Oh, great. Illicit, dishonorable, or unlawful gain. Usually you think of that as far as money goes. But of a ready mind. God, you know, when God calls somebody, there's a burden in their heart for the people of God. There's a burden there. There's a love there. That if it isn't there to begin with, it's gonna grow. You know? And then verse 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. You get it? I say these things. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, and people might move other places. You don't want to be in a church where the leadership is lording over you, that they're the elders, they're the pastors, and you need to obey them. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But being examples to the flock. Now, if we're not doing this, you guys need to be talking to us about, hey, get your act together here, guys. Because you have that responsibility and that duty to us to, if we're not doing that amongst each other, then the rest of the body needs to have some kind of response to it. Right? Steve, you want to say something?
You're going to define eventually what feed the flock means.
You know, the Lord told me not to make this too long today. And so I didn't think I was going to get into that. Do you want me to?
No? Maybe another time.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it goes on and says this whole thing here. And when the chief shepherd, right, elder, shepherd, pastor, having oversight, overseer, all right, all the same person. It's all the same office.
Isn't that Jesus?
Okay. Yeah. Now the chief shepherd is Jesus, but I was pointing out that Jesus being the chief shepherd, he's the one that should be feeding us all the time, right? And so here's this mixture of, you know, being led by the Spirit, but we also have people that have oversight. Right?
Yes.
All right. So that's where the rubber hits the road lots of times. All right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 11 starts out, and gave, talking about the Lord. The Lord gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Now, here's the reason why. For the perfecting of the saints. This kind of goes into, you know, feeding, there's two major ways that's happening, so I'm going to kind of answer this in a way, is by example, by living the right kind of life, that you can be an example that way, but also by feeding in terms of bringing messages from the Lord, rhema words, teaching the doctrines that are in this Bible, all right? That's feeding the flock. All right, and that's what the pastors are there to do, along with the other, is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Ministry is not just for the pastors of a church or the deacons of a church. Ministry, pastors are there to encourage and bring forth the gifts and the calling that's in the rest of the body, so that those people can find what those callings are and to move in it themselves and grow themselves. You get it? That's what's important. That's why we have what we have here is in terms of a more open church, so that people can step out into that, whatever that ministry is. This is why we do what we do. And it's important that all of us understand that, right? So we're just tying up the loose ends here to make sure everybody's aware of that. And for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth are not any more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. This is important, that we don't get deceived by wrong teaching. And I'm going to get to this at the end of this message. Folks, it is overwhelming, the changes that are going on in the church of the Lord. It's overwhelming. There's a lot of false stuff out there. And getting worse. Yeah. Getting worse.
What's that thing called?
Do you know that there's some churches that do grave soaking? That's what they call it. S-O-A-K, soak. Grave soaking. We're talking about a Christian church. Christian churches that have this thing called grave soaking. They go to a graveyard and they lay on top of a grave of a person that they think was a godly person to soak up that person's... It's called grave soaking. This is big stuff in some places.
We don't want to know what's going on.
Man! But you know what? If somebody says, hey, we're having a grave soaking party, you want to come? You can say, no, thank you. There's all kinds of stuff. You know where most of this gets jumped? No, I'm not going to get into
it. It's cuckamonga. It's cuckamonga, what's out there. And I think that, you know, because we've been brought up to really stay at the Word and have a connection with Jesus, that it isn't about ourselves and what God can do for us and everything coming toward us, but we're there to serve the Lord, and that He's supreme, and that the Word of God takes precedence over our feelings or our ministry, that we're there to do for God. We want to be available to God. It's not what He can do for us. We're in a good spot. And we need to realize that we have to remain there, and the enemy is very wily in how to pull us away from that strong, solid rock. And this is, I know this is why we're getting this kind of message. We've been in a good spot, but we better realize there's a lot of crazy stuff that's happening, and it's going to be worse. And we need to realize it. And what some of it, I mean, that is kind of like way out there. But what about other things that pull people away from the Lord and get them involved with feelings? It's always about their feelings. Feeling the Lord. If your focus is to feel the Lord, the enemy has a way in.
If you're out there serving the Lord, you'll get feelings when He wants you to feel His Spirit. But if you have to feel that, there was a time where I started doubting some things about myself and my walk with God because I wasn't feeling something. You worship sometimes. Do you always feel the presence of God?
No.
You don't always, if you're honest. You don't always, and then sometimes you feel like, well, I gotta manufacture it, I gotta feel the presence of God. And then our walk becomes feelings and not faith. Because I have the evidence from the scripture that Jesus is with me at all times. Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
Or do we need something manufactured so that we can believe that? No, we don't pursue that. We pursue, I'm going to worship God, whether I feel it or not. Because I know He deserves it. And I want to. And that's coming from my will. And I'm going to worship God, whether I feel His presence or not. And what happens a lot of times is, when I lose myself to Jesus, I find Jesus. Instead of me looking, waiting for something to come to me, I'm not doing that anymore. I am reaching into God no matter what. Right? You might think this is a minor point, but this is right at the heart of what is wrong in a lot of churches. A lot of churches are looking for feelings and God doing something for them and to them. This is not where our focus should be. Now, I want to tell you that I have seen the Lord work all kinds of miracles. I've seen Him touch me in ways and other people in ways when they're not, that wasn't what they were looking for. It comes because God decides this is what He's going to do. This is much more important for us, that we are people that recognize the fruit of the Spirit, recognize when the Spirit is moving, right? And you know that. There's a sense where you know it.
Yeah.
You have your mind and you have the enemy that wants you to see something or feel something when you don't have to. Because you have enough evidence, and faith is evidence, that comes out of this book, right? That tells you who God is, what He's done for you, what He will do for you, what His promises are. It's all laid out. And if you've read that over and you say, this is the truth, how many of you believe that's the Word of God? That the Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired and it's given for all kinds of different reasons. Right?
Yes.
And so we believe that. But you know, as we walk through life, the enemy tries to find ways to get us so that it's not by faith that we believe, it's by feelings that we believe. It's by something else that we believe. And then we're looking, Daddy and I went to a church that they got so caught up in having such wonderful worship. I mean, it was beautiful. People, we'd sing some songs, and then the music would die down a little bit, and then somebody would just sing a song. Just what was on their heart, what was in their mind, and they would sing a song to the Lord. Blessed us. It was a blessing, and there'd be numbers of them that would do this during a service, and we'd sing again, and then we'd just all sing in the Spirit. If you've ever been in that kind of situation, you know how wonderful that is.
But what can happen in lots of churches is spiritual pride comes in. They start really, in a sense, they were worshiping their worship. They were putting more emphasis on what worship they had, what was there in that aspect, and not that they were worshiping God, they were looking at themselves worshiping.
It became an idol.
Yes, it's an idol.
Yeah.
And we can do this in a lot of different ways when at the heart we're looking for something that's going to exalt us. And this is why we always say, we need to understand. Well, this is a loving body, but let's not get too exalted about it. You know, let's keep moving on with that. Because if we become too focused on how loving we are, we're not going to be too loving. We're going to have our own love that's going to fail at some point. Because Kathy and I were just talking about this, this thing about, hey, what's in 1 Corinthians 13 when you see the description of love? That's God's love. That's not our love. We have little pieces of it. And maybe all of it at one time or another, but that's the love of God, isn't it? That's not the way we are. Because if somebody's not treating us the way we want to, there's that much love there. Not at that time. And if we seek God, we can get past that, and then we can get back into the love of God. But come on.
So, it is so important for us that we are people that are so focused.
And you notice that the songs were all about Christ. The focus has to be on the Lord, not about us. But it's the Lord who sets up these. It's Him who did for us to have the Spirit of God in us. To be able to witness to the things that are of the Lord and what aren't. To be led by His Spirit. It was God who set up that there be authority in the church. This isn't man's idea. It's in here, isn't it? God had a reason for balancing off about being led by the Spirit of God and having a group of fallible people be those that were in charge of oversight over the church. And there's a right kind of balance there that we're all struggling to find. But that's the way that God set it up.
I'm not going to take the time because I'm trying to listen to the Lord here about the length.
First Timothy chapter 3 is the qualifications for an elder. But God says, you don't just have anybody be an elder. There's qualifications for an elder. All right.
But I'm not going to go into all of those. You can read those yourself. It's in First Timothy, and I won't get to it. But I want you to go to Titus chapter 1. Can you go to Titus, please? It's after Timothy. After the second book of Timothy. Here's something else about eldership, which is different than the way a lot of churches do things, but many churches do this, and this is a good thing.
All right? Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause I left Crete. For this cause left I thee in Crete. And so he left Titus in Crete. That you, Titus, talking about Titus, should set in order the things that are lacking. And ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. The eldership of a church from the very beginning until now is not done by a committee
that or the church and people. It's not a popularity contest. Elders are appointed by other elders. This is how God set it up. Now, you can't be an elder to a body of believers if the body of believers don't recognize him as an elder. And so there's both aspects are involved here, but the selection is determined by men that have already been called to that calling and recognize it in another person, and that person recognizes it in himself, and they come forward and they say, yes, I believe, and this is what we're going to be going through here in this process. And so with Glenn and he's already a pastor in other churches, but he's with us now, and we recognize that calling's on his life, and that he's called here, and he recognizes it, and that's why all of this is happening right now. So now there's 2 weeks for the congregation to say, I don't have that. I don't recognize him as an elder. What are you guys doing? Right? We also love to hear that, oh, amen. And I seem to hear a lot of clapping when that was mentioned, so I know how many of you feel that way. So that's a great thing, because we witness that he belongs here as an elder, as a pastor. And we've all been blessed by, you know, the gift, like I said last week, a gift that God gives makes room for itself. Did Glenn come in here and say, I'm a pastor, I should be a pastor in this church because I've been a pastor before, and tried to get people to, you know, hey, you want to talk to the elders about me being a pastor? No, he didn't do that at all, did he? He allowed his gift to make room for itself. And it was obvious to many of us. The gift of God makes room for itself. Amen. We don't have to sit there and open doors for ourselves. God will open doors of ministry when it's the right time, in the right manner. And so this is what's important. So elders are appointed. They are ordained. And there's that process. So after 2 weeks of giving people time to, you know, go on the internet and see if he has anything that he's done wrong in his life. After that period of time, then this is how we do it here, and we set him aside as a pastor. We do that for a period of approximately a year, where he's now tested with this body of believers. And if there are no big things that happen, he will be set in as an elder. He's going to function as an elder after 2 weeks from now, if everything goes right. And he will function as an elder. He is an elder. He's going to act that way. He'll have to come to our meetings. That's just what's going to happen. And then there's this ordained means there's an official recognition. All right. So he will be officially recognized at the end of the year, about from now, that he is definitely an elder in this church. And this way, that process has time to play itself out. Because it's important that the leadership of it, if people have authority in the church, it's important that you have the right people in authority in the church. Right? Let's see.
This has nothing to do with Glenn, it's more the process, but I found in leadership roles that I played over the years that most people will not be calling you elders to talk anything bad about anybody. And I find that happens more often than not. Second thing is, once you're ordained, you ever come to a point where you're disqualified?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah. I mean, this is, once a person becomes an elder, if I just started doing a lot of drinking and doing things I shouldn't be doing, okay? And a few of you see me doing it, you're going to come to me first, and you're going to say something to me. Malcolm, what the heck are you doing? Get away. You know? If I say that to you, what are you going to do? You're going to go get. You're going to get a few other people that have seen me do it, and you're going
to have to go to
Kathy. Yeah, go to Kathy. Kathy will put me in my place. But if that doesn't work, then you go to the rest of the elders, and if the elders agree with all what's going on, that they're going to say, Malcolm, you're going to need to. We're going to work with you. But if you don't want to work, you got a problem here. And if you're not going to work with us, your ministry is going to be set aside. But that's going to come from the eldership, too. But it's important that the whole body would be involved in a process like that.
That's the right? Biblical process.
And that is the biblical process of it all.
Yeah.
And that's important. It's good that you brought it up, Steve. Because just, you know, moving in any kind of ministry doesn't mean that, once you're there, that's the end of it. You know, you wanted to say something.
Well,
there
was just my little side note, which
yeah.
It says, having godly leaders is so important. Paul specifically addresses the character and responsibilities of church leaders called elders in Titus. Do you know who your various church leaders are? Be sure to pray for them often and ask God to continue to build in them the character, spiritual maturity, and abilities necessary to be wise and faithful church leaders. I think it's important to always remember to pray for the elders because they do have a big responsibility.
Yeah.
And Satan's will tend to go after the elders and to bring the church down.
Because they're providing a direction for the church and spiritual oversight. So if that's very true. And I know that all of the pastors in this church body would definitely appreciate all the prayers that we can get. All right, I want you to turn. This is the last scripture. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 17. Now, the first half, the first part of this verse might wrinkle some of you.
Rankle.
No, I think wrinkles.
We've already got wrinkles.
Okay, here it is. This is what the first part says. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now, who rules? If you go back to Peter that we've already read, it talks about how the elders have the rule over people, that they're responsible for the oversight, which is the rule. And it says, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as those that must give an account. The elders in this church, the pastors in this church, are going to stand before God in a little bit different way than other people. Oh yeah, we're the government, but you know what? If we're not doing our job the right way, if we're not really exercising the right kind of oversight, if we're not feeding you the right way, if we're not dealing with situations within the church, if we want to rather avoid situations than deal with them, then we're not doing what we need to do. Or if we're being heavy-handed, unloving, not kind,
in our approach to different situations. God has a special kind of judgment for us. And then it says, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Because if you're the kind of person that doesn't want to get to hear counsel, you know, if you're that kind of person, do you think the elders want to go and talk to you any longer? No, you're not going to hear, most elders aren't going to, they're just going to stay away from you. You don't want to hear? Oh, okay. Then we'll let God take care of certain things, you know. But let me read you here what these words mean. The word, I'm going to start with a rule over. Obey them that have a rule over you. That means, the word rule over actually means to be a guide for you. So it's not talking about heavy-handed, you've got, that elders have rulership in the way you might think it means. Okay? The word obey. I mentioned this last week. The word obey them that have a rule. This is what it means. Permit yourself to be persuaded. That means that you're not to be blindly submitting yourself to anybody. You don't blindly submit just because people have a calling and authority. You're not supposed to blindly submit. You should have a heart that is going to permit yourself to hear what that person has to say and not just push it away from you. Well, that isn't how I think of myself. Oh, I think you're full of beans there. You might react that way, but hopefully you'll go back and you'll say, well, let me think about this. Right? Because that's what's going to be needed. Right? If there's authority in the church, then authority sometimes has to deal with situations, and lots of times people don't like to hear something. Most of us don't like hearing that we're not doing something right. And believe me, I've had quite a few things happen to me where people have said something to me. And I don't like it. But you know what? If I'm gonna be a leader in a church, I better be able to take it. Right? We have to submit ourselves one unto another. And so it's important for me to be able to do that, as well as you being able to take it from other people and from an eldership. You know what a lot of Christians do? The first time that somebody has to say something that they don't like, that's the last time you'll see them in that church. They're running off somewhere else where they can hide. They're running off because, you know, that's not God. Who do they think they are? And then we have people within a church that are afraid to say anything to anybody because they're afraid that they're going to think, oh, well, they're going to think, well, who the heck does he think he is? And you don't want people thinking that way about you. And so on both sides of it, what needs to be said that's going to break people out of bondages and to elevate the body of Christ doesn't get done, one side or the other side. And if we're going to continue to grow in the love and admonition of the Lord, we have to be people that aren't afraid to talk to one another in love, and we have to be able to receive it too. I wonder how many of you will be back next week. You know, a love fest, it's really a marriage that we're talking about. Because it's great. The lovey-dovey part is great. But, you know, in a marriage, you've got to deal with things too. Right? And love a person through it. And overlook some things. Don't you?
Yes.
Don't look at Kat. She has enough to overlook. All right, let me see if there was... Oh, so it means to permit yourself to be persuaded by the person that is in that position. And then that word obey also has the aspect of be respectful. There's supposed to be a respect for people that are going to have to give an account of themselves for overlooking the oversight of your soul. You have that responsibility too. And this plays, this goes down families. Same kind of idea. There's that kind of thing when it comes to authority. But the man, because he has spiritual oversight over the wife, doesn't make the wife second class to the husband. They're joint heirs together in it. They're supposed to submit themselves one to the other. Do you see the pattern that God has? He has it in his church. He has it in the marriage. That's how it's supposed to be. I can't sit there and put my thumb on top of Kathy. That would never happen anyways. And tell her, well, this is just the way it is, and that's the end of it. I need to be together with her as much as I can. You know, when it gets down to an ultimate decision on something where we don't have a see eye to eye, well, God says, well, the man has the authority. Sorry, ladies, but that's true. If you look at the word. If you look at the word, and then the problem is just like it happens in churches. The problem then in a marriage is that either the man sees that, oh, hey, I got the spiritual oversight, and then he doesn't treat his wife with love. He doesn't treat his wife as a fellow heir, as an equal. And then you got problems. And the wife, same thing. And you know how I don't like to talk about these things? Because there's too many people that are already giggling and thinking about, you know, their
different things.
But there'll be a time where God will put his finger on this.
Yes.
And as we're going to grow families, as a bigger family, then at some point in time, God will put his finger on this and say, hey, look, here's a rhema word for this situation, and hopefully we'll hear it and go with it. But you know, we don't want to avoid any of these things. God is putting his finger, wants to talk to us about certain things, tie up some loose ends, because I think we're doing a really wonderful job in many areas here of what I talked about today. I think that you're all on board with all of it. So, but we want to be aware of these things. Know that this is not the way it is in lots of other places. Okay? So, we thank you, Lord, today. I pray, Lord, that you tie all this up in the right way. Tie those shoelaces that we don't trip ourselves down the line. We thank you, Lord, that you're loving, that we love one another. Lord, let your Spirit lead us. Let us understand what authority means in a better way. Lord, that we would be people that can talk to one another, not be fearful, that it comes through love. Love is the key, Lord. We thank you so much. Love is what makes us really grow up in you. And press forward unto that high calling that's in God. Lord, that's what we want. We don't want to always look back at the past, Lord, but we want to press to what's ahead. We give you praise and we give you glory today. You are a great God, a loving God.